Welcome to another Anatomy on the Beach. This is Dr. Leo Stauder speaking to you from beautiful Fort Lauderdale Beach. I'm in my cabana here. I'm going to talk about the pancreas today. Now the pancreas is going to be anatomically a organ that's going to be in the mid-abdomen, more to the left. We consider it to be retroperitoneal. That means it's going to be behind the peritoneum. Peritoneum is a covering inside of the abdomen. When things are retroperitoneal, that means that they are behind the peritoneum, and that means that they're going to be more sequestered, more separated from the intestinal or the abdomen. That being the case, then, if the abdomen were to, for instance, rupture, like let's say we had a rupture of the intestine, then the infection that would be caused would not affect anything that was retroperitoneal, because the peritoneum would essentially act as a wall to protect that viscera. So in this case, the pancreas is so important, it needs to have this particular protection. Now the pancreas anatomically is going to be beholding to its name. Its name is pancreas. Pan means all over the place, or a lot, and creas means flesh. So it's literally a very fleshy organ, or all flesh. It's a very pretty organ, sort of yellowish white, and it looks a little bit like pearls all stuck together. It's a gorgeous organ. It snuggles up to the duodenum, and the duodenum, as you remember, is the first part of the small intestine, just as it comes off of the stomach. Now the duodenum is roughly the shape of a D for duodenum, but a backwards D. So picture the D as having it's the back of the D, or actually the front of the D, whatever, where it's the flattest. That's going to be turned around, and the curve of the D is going to be going more to the left. So the head of the pancreas is going to snuggle up inside of that curve of the D, of the duodenum. So we have the head of the pancreas snuggling up to the duodenum. And then its tail is like a flag that's sort of proceeding out from the head. And that's going to be the tail of the pancreas. Now the pancreas has two functions. It has a primary function of being an exocrine organ and a secondary function, but by no means a less important function, being the endocrine function. So the pancreas is essentially an organ of both exocrine and endocrine function. It's one of the few organs that, I think it's the only organ I can think of that actually does do that. Now today we're going to be talking more about the endocrine function than the exocrine, but as far as exocrine glands are concerned, an exocrine gland is always going to have a duct. So the duct is going to transfer its products, the gland's products, somewhere else. That's why we call it exo, because it's going to exit from the gland. By contrast, an endocrine organ is going to be one that does not have a duct, so they're ductless, and also they are going to release their components into the bloodstream directly, so they don't need a duct. They don't need a passageway to do that. They just put their products right into the bloodstream. So the exocrine function of the pancreas is going to be to put digestive enzymes into the duodenum. That's why it's snuggled up against the duodenum, is that the pancreas will produce enzymes to digest our foods, and they'll dump them right into the duodenum. This is the exocrine function, so we're going to be using a duct, and the duct is the pancreatic duct. So you'll see that when we talk about the digestive system. But the endocrine function of the pancreas is going to be for glucose metabolism. So glucose is going to be metabolized in or by the function of the pancreas. Now, the function of the pancreas is going to be really dependent upon the histology. So when we think of the macroscopic view of the pancreas, we see it's a yellowish white, pearls all stuck together in a very pretty organ. if we make a transection of that and make a slice, very thin slice of it, put that thin slice under the microscope, we'll see that histologically, the pancreas will have some characteristics that lend itself to its function. So one of the characteristics is going to be the Isles of Langerhans or the pancreatic islets, either one. Isles of Langerhans is the older term, pancreatic islets is a newer term. But both of them express that there is an island or an islet, a small area that's going to be amid a sea of other things. Just like an island is a small area amid the sea. Those other things in the pancreas are called the acini cells. The acini cells are going to be the cells that are going to be mostly populating the pancreas. A lesser population is going to be these Isles of Langerhans. These Isles of Langerhans are going to be less because the pancreas does more digestive function than it does do an endocrine function. So we have the Isles of Langerhans. So these are going to be interspersed within the pancreas. About 98% of the function of the pancreas is digestive in nature. Only 2% is endocrine in nature. So we still have the endocrine function, but it's going to be in these islands. So it's going to be separated out into the islands of Langerhans, the pancreatic islets. Now there are two cells within the pancreatic islets. The one cell is called the alpha cell. The other cell is called the beta cells. So basically A and B. The A cells are going to be responsible for producing glucagon. The B cells are going to be responsible for producing insulin. So these two components, these two hormones, are going to be produced in the Isles of Langerhans. So we have the alpha cells producing glucagon and the beta cells producing insulin. Now this is easy to remember because if we think of the word glucagon, glucagon, gluca, the A of course is for the alpha cells. So alpha and A of course are the same. So glucagon is going to be coming from the alpha cells. Another way to remember this is if you remember that a person who has no insulin or a decreased ability to produce insulin, these individuals are called diabetics, or the disease is diabetes. So diabetes gives us the indication that these are going to be from the beta cells. So a diabetic has a problem with their beta cells of their Isles of Langerhans. So these two hormones are going to be what we would consider antagonistic hormones. And an antagonism means it's going to be having the opposite effect. So if you are antagonistic to somebody, you are going to be opposite them or opposing them. So glucagon has the effect of making glucose gone from the stores, such as from the stores in the liver. So let's describe a little bit about what happens when we have our typical day. In the morning we wake up and we have breakfast. Breakfast may be composed of, let's say, orange juice. That's going to be mostly carbohydrates. Those carbohydrates are going to go into our blood. They're going to be absorbed through the small intestine. So now we have glucose in our blood, and we have a high level of that. So we don't need that high level, so the body's going to try to get rid of that. The way it's going to get rid of it out of our blood is by insulin. Insulin brings glucose in to the cells. So insulin brings glucose in to the cells. Therefore, it's going to lower the blood sugar. So insulin's real primary thing is to bring the glucose from the blood into the cells themselves or into the tissues. So as the blood sugar lowers, we have to find a source for glucose. That source is going to be in the stored glucose. And glucose is going to be stored as glycogen in the liver. So that's a readily available source of glucose. So as the glucose lowers in our blood and we don't eat again, we have to somehow get glucose into our blood. The best way to do that is by using glucagon. Glucagon makes glucose gone from the liver and puts it into the blood, therefore raising the level of glucose in the blood. So that's basically the physiology behind what happens. But you see why we call glucagon and insulin antagonistic. Because insulin lowers blood glucose, and glucagon raises blood glucose. So they do exactly the opposite effect. But they work in conjunction and in harmony. So that's the story behind the endocrine function of the pancreas. And I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope to see you again in another Anatomy on the Beach. This is Dr. Leo B. Stouter saying, oh, you want to get a hold of me? It's anatomyonthebeach@gmail.com. That's anatomyonthebeach@gmail.com. I welcome your comments and see you soon. Bye now.